Welcome to this episode of Real Space Strategy. I'm your host, Christopher Stone, Senior Fellow for Space Deterrence and Warfighting at the National Institute for Deterrence Studies in Washington, D.C. Real Space Strategy exists to provide you, the listener, a reality check on U.S. space policy and strategy, while giving you insight into the processes required to achieve a credible deterrent and warfighting posture for the United States Space Force. The views expressed by the host and guests in Real Space Strategy are those of the host and guests and are not to be attributed or considered part of any government entity or private sector company. Over the past 2 years of this podcast, we have spent a great deal of time discussing the strategies, doctrines, and weapons of the fast-growing Chinese space forces and their threats to American and allied critical space infrastructure. While many on the arms control side of things believe that paper can provide security and UN resolutions and norms provide, quote, guardrails to space operations, behaviors in orbit and beyond, the reality is that China just doesn't care about all that and will do what they believe to be best for them as a country, which is to prepare for great power war with the United States. It is well known that the Chinese are the fastest growing space force on planet Earth, with focus on creating what they call a multi-layered attack architecture, capable of waging a, quote, rapid and destructive space war. They have deployed and demonstrated ground-based anti-satellite missiles capable of ranging all major orbital operating areas for U.S. and allied systems. They have demonstrated fractional orbital bombardment systems for space-to-ground attack of the homeland, and have been showing their willingness and capacity for in-space orbital warfighting of various types, using everything from grappling arms to moving satellites out of their own orbits to conducting what some have termed dogfighting via rendezvous and proximity operations close to sensitive U.S. space systems. This is not including all the active reversible space attacks they have been conducting using both lasers and jammers against U.S. government and commercial constellations over a sustained period of time. Yet regardless of these realities that have been clearly reported in the press and acknowledged by the Chinese communists themselves, people still assume that there has not been a war in space, despite a low-intensity war already occurring and having been occurred for some time. Space is not just about science and exploration, or supporting the society that we, the West, have grown so accustomed to over the past 30 years. And it certainly isn't to the Chinese. The most recent example of this is the reports in the press that China has decided to arm its space station. So recently, China announced that they plan to arm their space station with what they call guard dogs. Chinese representative Sun Jibin of China's National Space Science Center stated during the announcement that they are not arming its space station, and by the way, he used the word arming. They are not arming its space station out of aggression, but as a response to recent threats by a Starlink satellite, which grazed the Tiangong space station, prompting maneuvering and a strong formal protest in the UN by the Chinese delegation. So because of their having to maneuver out of the way of satellites, they are pursuing a means of, quote, pushing them out of the way. The way the system would work is via a tiered response protocol that would transform space station defense from reactive to proactive operations. Whenever sensors and ground control detect an approaching object, the system would initiate a comprehensive intentive assessment phase, they call it, analyzing the intruder's trajectory, velocity changes, and behavioral patterns to determine whether the approach represents deliberate reconnaissance, accidental drift, or potential collision threats. It should be noted that in the Chinese strategic culture, many of these actions, considered standard and benign to the West, are viewed as, quote, battlefield prep by the Chinese military. Ironic, though, they think that given their own behavior that is proactive and aggressive by Western standards. If the sensors decide that it is a threat, these robotic guard dogs, equipped with thrusters, internal sensors, a docking mechanism, and AI systems, would grapple or latch onto the intruders. Once securely attached, thrusters will fire to push the targets into, quote, safer trajectories. Many authors have likened this system to be like a movable exclusion zone around the Chinese space station. So now that we have described the system, let's get a bit more into the rationale or excuse for such a system on a space station. According to press reports, quote, the strategic rationale of the system is rooted in past incidents that have highlighted the vulnerabilities of orbital assets. In December 2021, China formally reported to the United Nations that its Tiangong space station was forced to perform two evasive maneuvers in the same year to avoid potential collisions with SpaceX's Starlink satellites. Starlink 1095 and Starlink 2305 reportedly descended from their typical operational orbits of around 555 kilometers into Tiangong zone at approximately 382 kilometers, prompting emergency actions on July 1st and October 21st, 2021. The Chinese complaint to the UN highlighted the difficulty in predicting the Starlink satellite's trajectories due to their continuous maneuvering, with their strategies largely unknown and orbital errors hard to assess, thus posing a collision risk in their view. For the July 2021 encounter, there was no advance communication between SpaceX and the China Human Spaceflight Engineering Office about the pass. SpaceX, for its part, confirmed that it checks for close approaches with both the International Space Station and China's space station. The United States stated in response that these activities did not meet the threshold for established emergency collision criteria, and therefore emergency notifications were not warranted. China disagreed, and the International Space Station, it might add, managed by the U.S., Russia, and Europe, would have probably executed the same maneuver according to past operational history. Which is true, and it is part of the reason why many don't buy this excuse as the true reason for deploying such a weapon system on the Chinese space station. The ISS, or International Space Station, up in orbit continuously since 1998, has had to maneuver several times to avoid conjunctions or collisions with space junk. This has become a normal maneuver for the space station as well as commercial providers. This is all due primarily to Chinese and Russian orbital debris generated through their poor operational practices of not passivating end-of-life satellites or spent upper stages. Passivating, just to remind you, means basically when you have a satellite at end-of-life, you drain the batteries and you drain all the propellant out so it doesn't explode with all the hot and cooling going around the Earth in an orbit. The European Space Agency's reports on debris have shown that this has been the primary reason for the growth in orbital debris in low Earth orbit and other orbital regimes, not due to ASAT testing. So, while a big deal, they have had to maneuver to avoid SpaceX satellite or some junk, which is not abnormal. Everybody does it. Another reason why many don't buy this announcement at face value is that China has been demonstrating greater prowess in rendezvous and proximity operations, RPO, as mentioned earlier. Last year, it was observed that China conducted an orbital test involving a series of RPO operations conducted in low Earth orbit, involving five different objects and space maneuvering in and out around each other in synchronicity and in control, quote-unquote. There were three Cheyenne 24C experimental satellites. Think about these as the attackers, and two Shijin 605AB experimental space objects, the targets, which came within less than roughly half a mile of each other. These operations are not just technical demonstrations, according to Space Force observers. They are seen as practicing tactics, techniques, and procedures to do on-orbit space operations from one satellite to another, end quote. I'll also mention that we actually had a Real Space Strategy Live event with Jim Cooper, where we had some nice video of some of these activities. So if you're interested, check that out on YouTube. So back to this. It is not the first time China has done this as well. The name Shijian means practice in Chinese, and this series of satellites has long been a focal point of concern for the U.S. government and space observers due to their unannounced launches, deployment of undisclosed sub-satellites, and unusual orbital maneuvers, which for a country like China who complains and pretends to care about the UN system, violates all the current international rules through all these actions. You're supposed to do all these things, notification and everything else, as part of UN space rules. So it has demonstrated RPO capabilities, including close inspection and even towing of other objects. The Shijian 17, launched in 2016, was equipped with a robotic arm. And back then, U.S. Space Command commander publicly warned in April of 2021 that this robotic arm could be used in, quote, a future system for grappling other satellites, end quote, highlighting its potential for counter-space capabilities. In addition, China has not been shy about what their objectives in space are, to include beyond Earth orbit in the solar system, which is space domination. The reason is China considers space domination crucial in order to have military superiority on Earth. They have declared that they want technological hegemony in space weapons and in the international system, and so far as they have achieved that, according to a recent report by the Pentagon, they referred to China's test as close to a Sputnik moment back in 2021. Too bad the service, Space Force, and Congress aren't taking this as seriously as Sputnik was taken by our government and people back in 1957. One historical note before we move on, this is not the first time that an adversary nation has armed a space station. Soviet Union had put a chain gun on its Salyut and Almaz space stations in the 1970s and early 80s, so don't think again this is a new issue. It's not. The question is, how do we as the United States respond to this next level of arming up space forces by the Chinese? To me, this move indicates a commitment not just to unmanned remote space combat operations, but potentially to manned space combat operations, and as such, it shows a willingness to risk military personnel in a conflict beyond orbit and beyond. Also, this indicates another example of how China does not care one bit about our moral example and taking the high ground of separating our civil and military sectors into distinct areas. China will combine and maximize strengths achieved through full strategic integration of its space capabilities in order to move further out into space for the seizure of space dominance and all the resources and military advantages those activities provide. So when will the Space Force, Congress, and even the White House decide to fix this issue, and many others, with a fully equipped and empowered Space Force capable of waging deterrence and warfighting as needed to protect our national interests and homeland? Hopefully, the answer is sooner than later. Otherwise, the alternative is something I fear we won't be able to recover from, at least not quickly. Something China called in its military writings a, quote, grave aftermath from Chinese space superiority. But for now, this is Christopher Stone for Real Space Strategy. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Real Space Strategy. Real Space Strategy with Christopher Stone is a production of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies. And for more information, see us at our website, thinkdeterrence.com. That's thinkdeterrence.com, our YouTube page, and any of our various social media sites on whichever platform you choose.
The NIDS Podcasting Network.